Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Sim Redman. Redman is the founder and frontman for the innovative and highly acclaimed roots band, the Sim Redman Band. The band released their fifth CD, Each New Day, in September and recently returned from a successful tour of Japan. Welcome to the show, Sim.
Thanks a lot for having me.
I want to start with the fact that you and your brother Asa began playing music in your teens. So tell us how that happened. Did you guys both wake up one morning and say, let's ask mom for a guitar?
I think it was pretty much like that. Yeah, we actually, from our dad for Christmas one year, Ace decided he wanted drums, so I decided I'd better get a guitar. And I think I was kind of following his lead in terms of getting musical. He was a little older than me, 2 years older, so he's a little ahead of me in thinking about fun things to do. So I often just did whatever he was doing. And so he wanted drums, and I asked for a guitar, and that was the start of it, although the music we started playing at that point was obviously a lot different.
Our first
band was a hardcore band, pretty heavy distortion.
Really?
Although it was kind of conscious. It was animal rights and kind of anti-drug type of themed music. So.
And you started this while you were in your teens as well?
Yeah. Yep. That band was called Juvenocracy. I think I was about 13.
So you got these instruments from your parents upon request, and did you actually take lessons, the two of you?
Briefly. Asa, I think, stuck with it a little longer than me. I might have taken close to a year's worth of lessons, but beyond that, I kind of just taught myself.
Really? So you're self-taught? I've met so many musicians in this area who are self-taught. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it. I had taken piano lessons when I was younger, so I had a little more background, but... And I'm not a virtuoso guitar player or anything. I know what I need to know in order to write songs and play.
So I know your influences have been African and reggae, and one reviewer described your music as reggae meets Americana.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you came upon this music.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it has a lot to do with just the great variety of music that's around this town, you know, with the Grassroots Festival and musicians like Samite and Mamadou Djibate that have lived here. We just got exposed to enough, you know, different kinds of music from different parts of the world that we realized there's a lot more out there. And Jordan was also very into African guitar. I think he studied that a little bit when he was at Berkeley. He's our guitarist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we just kind of, Ace has always been really into reggae, and we just kind of, it was a mixture of all the music we loved. And
So you were attracted to it from the beginning, huh?
Yeah, I think so. As soon as we all kind of came together at first, my songs probably leaned a lot more towards the folk kind of.
Yeah, it seems to me kids starting out usually start out with folk.
Yeah.
And heavy on the lyrics.
Yeah.
And a lot of just strumming two or three chords.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the early forming of the Sim Redman Band. How did that happen? That happened about 7 years ago.
Yeah. I had played in a few other bands with various members, with my brother, obviously, since I was really young, and with Dan and Jordan in a band called Ginger a couple of years before. And so by the time I started exploring writing my own songs, I knew the circle of musicians that I really enjoyed playing with. So I kind of asked them if they wanted to try playing some of my songs, and we got together and just started working on it. And that was kind of the start of it. I met Unit maybe a couple months later.
Mm-hmm. She was your original lead singer, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She played a big part in kind of developing the sound of the band, I think. And we met up with Nate a few years later, and he started contributing a lot right away just to our recordings and playing with us live performances when he could. And and when Unit decided to leave, Jen was, we just found her pretty quickly. She was the perfect.
What's Jen's last name?
Jen Middaw.
Jen Middaw, yep. Right. She's your new lead, your latest lead singer.
Our most recent addition, and she's really fit in, like, perfectly.
So when you were starting the band, since it's obviously your name attached to it,
mm-hmm.
did you have a vision for how you wanted things to sound, and you brought people together to see how that would develop, or how did that work?
Yeah, that
because you do have a particular sound.
Yeah, as far as the name, I sometimes even regret it a little bit because I think it's a little misleading at this point that it's so focused on me, because really the sound of the band is not that focused on me, I don't think.
Hmm.
But early on, it was maybe a little more. It was about, you know, even more about just the song. And, you know, as we grew as a band, everybody's voices, I think, got more developed. And so at this point, I think it's somewhat misleading. People think of me as like the, you know, the Dave Matthews, but it's really
different. But you
could
call it Sim Redmond and the band.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times I really think the band makes Jordan's guitars so unique, and Ace's drumming, and you know, everybody's voices add so much.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can get the right chemistry together, because your sound really is fabulous.
Thank you.
And you can tell there's a chemistry between all of you guys.
Yeah.
Nothing seems out of place.
Yeah, I think it's maybe partly because we're all quite good friends. We still get along great to this day, and we enjoy traveling together, and it's really fun.
So when you first formed the band, when did you decide that you were going to be ready to cut a CD? And what was that first experience like?
Let's see. Actually, the first CD we put out, The Things We'll Keep, that was in 1999. I actually started recording that even maybe before the band was actually formed. I was up at Ithaca College studying audio production, and it was my my senior project, I think. And,
really?
Yeah. I needed to record something, so I got like Ace and Dan and Jordan up there. And so Unique wasn't even actually an official part of the band when we started recording that CD. And she joined in, and I had her take a couple verses. And so you can tell that CD, you know, maybe her voice isn't fully integrated into it.
Was that a good experience, though? I mean, some people, you're sitting around playing with a band, and it's fun, and you can fool around with it. But once you get into the studio, you get into the nitty gritty and the details. Was that a difficult transition?
It was our first time doing it all together, it was fun just exploring that and seeing what we could do, and it was an adventure. And I didn't feel, and you know, we hadn't played out live that much either, so it wasn't like. We didn't have a specific idea, maybe, of what we were trying to capture. It was just like, let's see what we can make. And so that was fun. And and for me, I was just learning how to record too, and how, you know, the various techniques there. So it's definitely one of those first albums that you look back on and laugh about a little bit, and maybe maybe tuck away into the corner.
But it did get good reviews. I mean, it got a good reception from what I've seen from the reviews that I've read, yeah.
For sure, yeah. We were really received well right from the start. We feel lucky for that.
Yeah. Now your new CD is called Each New Day, and it's really delightful. I love it.
Nice.
I really do.
Yeah.
Now I want to play an excerpt from the track called Ray of Sunshine. Let's listen.
All right.
Time.
songs are so optimistic and happy. Do you set out to write stuff like that, or is that just you?
I think it's mostly just me, and probably and the disposition of a lot of the members of the band is very upbeat and hopeful. And I don't know. I guess I've written some sad songs, but I just feel like maybe the world needs a lot of people write to us, and they're like, "You help me through this hard time. This music lifts me up every time I'm down." And I feel like that's something important that we can provide. It comes naturally to us, and so we enjoy doing
so
that.
So have you always been sort of an optimistic person? You haven't had to struggle deeply to find that ray of sunshine in yourself?
I guess not.
Because you always seem to be smiling.
Yeah, people always tell me that. I don't even realize it. But, yeah, I guess that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about your writing, though. When did it actually start? You start playing guitar and you're self-taught. Mm-hmm. When did you actually start composing?
I guess that was also a very gradual thing. You know, I would write for some of these earlier bands, the hardcore band, and some of these other ones. I would write guitar parts and make chord progressions, but not so much lyrics or melody at all. And the lyrics and melody, writing a complete song, kind of. That kind of started happening right around maybe a year before our first CD came out. And I don't know, just I didn't decide I'm gonna start writing songs and start a band. I just started feeling the need to write songs. Mm-hmm. And
did it start out as poetry, so many people's lyrics do?
No, I'd actually never written poetry, like just written words. Mm-hmm. It's always been for the goal of putting it to music.
Mm-hmm. So do you write the music first and then add the lyrics, or how does that work?
Yeah, most of the time for me that is how it works. I play around on my guitar, find some chords I like, and a melody will start to come to me, and the words usually come later. They're actually the hardest part for me.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you have a song and you think it's complete with the lyrics and the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you bring it to the band and you guys decide how it's going to be arranged, or do you already have a vision in your head about that?
I mean, I usually have some ideas, but definitely the band does a lot to shape it and fill out the sound and add parts to it. So,
Mm-hmm. Do you ever collaborate with anybody on your writing? Did somebody come to you from the band with a melody and?
Unit and I did that a good bit, especially in the later years that she was with us, and I really enjoyed doing that. It's fun. It's fun to work off someone else's ideas and to only have to finish part of an idea and then see what they do. I anticipate we'll do more of that with, Nate and Jen are both very creative songwriters too, so I look forward to doing that as we
Are you influenced in your writing by everyday situations, or are you somebody who reads the newspaper, or,
I think I'm most influenced by just personal interactions with people I'm close to or people I'm not, but it's more on a personal level, less to do with like a specific event or something in the newspaper, although world events definitely shape the emotions and the feelings behind a lot of the songs.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your songs do sound like, are you speaking to someone when you're talking about relationships? You're my ray of sunshine and like the piece we just played?
Yeah, I'd say the majority of my songs I've written for my fiance. I have a whole CD, actually, a solo CD full of songs for her. And she's definitely my greatest inspiration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I was wondering also, you seem to be interested, unlike some people, in a real balance between the lyrics and the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, somebody like Bob Dylan obviously is heavy on the lyrics and not so heavy on the music. Is that a conscious thing to be?
Yeah, I think it's probably where my strengths lie. I'm not super focused on the lyrics. They we were saying, it comes second. So I think the feeling of the music is really the most important thing to me. Just the overall feeling, not necessarily the specific words or anything, but I think there's kind of a balance there.
Mm-hmm. And so do you consider yourself the leader of the Sim Redman band, and do you call up people and say, we've got to rehearse today, and do you take a leadership
in some ways, but everybody has their different things that they are really in charge of in the band.
Really? Talk to us a little about that. How does that designated?
I mean, the nuts and bolts of it, like my brother, he's the one who deals with the van and deals with making sure you know, that gets to the shop when it needs to. And,
he changes the flat tires and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much, yep. And, you know, Nate's super instrumental when we come into the studio nowadays. So, and, yeah, Dan's actually the one who most often is like, let's practice, let's get together, you know. So I do handle a lot of the business end of the band, emails and booking and just coordinating everybody in terms of what time it is to we got to get together to leave for Rochester, you know, whatever it is. So,
So you do take somewhat of a leadership role, but it sounds to me like some of it just sort of fell into place based on people's weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah, for sure.
Huh, that's very interesting to me. Now, when did you first start going on tour, knowing that this was a real band that you're going to take on tour, right? Because that is a different scene, too.
That's another interesting thing about the band is that we've never really done the touring that I think most bands do when they, you know, they're trying to build an audience. They take a lot of trips, you know, down, up and down the East Coast or out to the West Coast. And it's something we haven't done a lot. We've kind of waited until enough people say, you got to get to this place. Or if a festival says, you know, please come down here, then we'll go, of course. But we've never done a lot of venturing out, playing new places, trying to develop markets. And things have just kind of happened naturally for us.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sim Redmond. He's the frontman and the leader of the Sim Redmond Band. You said you have a new song to present to us, so I would love to have you play that and tell us the title. And
all right. Actually, it's untitled as of yet. I don't know. Maybe you can help me out with that after I play it.
Okay. Now, that was a little bit political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one is a little bit political.
Uh-huh.
I'd say that's kind of how I approach it. If I'm disturbed by the events that are going on in the world and the government and stuff.
What do you mean if?
If when? Yeah, as we all constantly are. Mm-hmm. I think combining that with a love song is like is I'm trying to mm-hmm. trying to look for a solution. You know, trying to see what can we draw on for hope and for to look for change. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a lovely song.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, speaking of what you just played and some of your Sunshine songs that you do write, mm-hmm. do you believe that you should just be an entertainer and not be on a soapbox? Or how do you feel about that issue, since it comes up so often?
Yeah. I've always kind of walked not too close to the edge, and I don't feel that musicians should or shouldn't be, you know, making a statement. I think it's great when musicians make a strong stand, and I think what the Dixie Chicks did was great. It's just not me to be quite so bold or forward, but I like to put it in there in a subtle or gentle way.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, that song you just played, it's a very subtle way of doing it.
Yeah.
It's not punching somebody in the face with a message, but there certainly is a message there.
Yeah, I think, sometimes, you can win people over with kindness rather than, being too blunt, so.
we are living in a volatile culture, too. It's nice to see something that's lovely and has a message as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've been talking about the band, but let's talk a little bit more about the band as it currently is manifested. There are five members. Do you feel like this is a polished piece, or is it still a work in progress?
As far as the lineup of the band?
Yeah.
Actually, there's six members now with Jen and Nate. It's recently become a six-piece. And I feel like right now, I feel like definitely we're a very complete group. And, it's always fun to play with horns, but it's hard to have a big band. It's hard to travel with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we record a horn section on our CD, maybe for half the songs on the new CD have a horn section. But I don't see us really expanding to doing that as a official.
So do you borrow horn players just for the recordings?
There's so many talented musicians around here. We've always managed to find some great players, but through our friends John Brown's Body, a lot of times the players that play with them are happy to come help us out, so... Yeah, it's been great.
Uh-huh. Now, speaking of the fact that so many bands go through so many manifestations and different personnel and stuff, do you think it's hard for individuals who have strong personalities or strong thoughts about their musicianship to stay in a band? And is that why they break up? People want to go solo more often?
It's definitely, it's a challenge. It's the stronger the personality, probably the more challenging it is to stay in close quarters for long periods of time and get along. I think that's part of the reason we've been lucky not to have too many band member changes, just a lot of low-key personalities and agreeable people. And so, it's hard, though. It's not easy.
Oh, I'm
and,
sure. I'm sure. Because, I mean, most talented people are temperamental.
Yeah.
And they do have their own vision. And
yeah.
Certainly that's why they come to the table at all.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think maybe that's something that's a little different about us, though, that we don't really have that.
Uh-huh. And so you play a lot locally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make decisions about where you want to play and where you wouldn't play? And is that an easy or hard thing to do? In regard to the image of the band and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of that is dictated by people who have families and children and wives, and it's hard to get away from that. And we don't necessarily want to get away from that. I know Nate spent a lot of time on the road, and he's happy now to be living mostly in Ithaca and with this band that can work, because we don't leave the area too much. Mm-hmm. And we have definitely focused mostly on the region around in and around Ithaca, and this area has been really supportive of us, and so we've been able to sustain ourselves somewhat doing that. And getting farther out, we kind of wait till people tell us there's a need or a desire, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what happened in Japan. Like, we never pursued that.
I was just going to ask you about that. So how did you find that and establish a connection with Japan?
Yeah, that is one of those magical mysteries that I still don't completely understand, but a record store over there began importing just a few of our CDs, and the owner really liked our sound. He focused more on jam bands, but we happened to be available with a catalog that some of those other bands were in. And
wow.
And so he really liked the sound. He played it a lot in his store, and people took a real liking to it there. And it really was by word of mouth over there. It grew until the demand was great enough that a distributor and record company over there contacted us. And so that same record company is the one that's brought us over there 5 times now and released.
You've been over there for five times now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was that many times.
Yeah.
So what's that experience been like?
It's really, really, really fun. It's amazing to go, you know, that far away from home, around to the other side of the world.
But it's such a different culture as well. Do you mainly play in the big cities, Tokyo? And
yeah, in the most part, we've focused on the bigger cities. But this last tour, actually, we got to visit some of the smaller cities, which was really nice, and get, you know, just a feel for the countryside and what some of the smaller towns feel like. And it's really amazing.
So the Japanese people love your music. Well, it's happy music. I mean, I can see why it would translate culturally, even if they don't understand the lyrics.
Exactly, yeah.
And have you learned any Japanese words?
A few. Jordan.
Not bad ones, right? Like so many people do.
I don't think so. We've learned some I don't even remember the meaning of, but Jordan's really, he's studied it a bit, and so he's probably the best in the band. And Nate's got some pretty good
a few Japanese words too. Do you think you'll ever try to record a song in Japanese as a tribute to this incredible culture that has adopted you?
It would be fun. Actually, the last song on our new CD has a little bit of Japanese. It's a song about their baseball team, actually.
Is that what that song's about?
Hanshin Tigers.
Yes, Hanshin Tigers.
And they were very excited about their team just winning the championship when we were in Osaka a couple of years ago, so that kind of inspired that little...
That is great. It's funny how people get connected to certain cultures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
now tell us about the future of the band, just in, you know, in the next few months. Solo CDs from anybody?
As far as I know, I don't think we've got any CDs coming out really soon in the future. We are considering putting out a live CD. That's something we haven't done. So.
Oh, that would be great, because some people have said you've got to see you guys live.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people say that. The certain sound that
and to see Sim Redmond's incredible smile. I read that in a review.
Nice. Well, we're looking for a recording that captures that, so we're gonna look into that. And
and where will you be playing in the next month or two? Are you gonna do anything around Christmas?
We're doing actually a New Year's show in Ithaca. It's something we've done.
Where's that gonna be?
At Castaways.
Great.
And beyond that, we're just working out a gig down in New York City. We haven't played there for a while, and it's about time we got down to the music capital of the world, so it's not too far away.
Well, Sim Redmond, we're running out of time, and I want to tell all my listeners, go out and buy Each New Day. It's on iTown Records. It's wonderful. It'll cheer you up if you're down. Perfect thing for the holidays. So many people get depressed. So go out and buy Sim Redmond's new CD. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And log on to our new website at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.